You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, the best fans in the NFL, they need their gear. So shop the best selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns Team Shop with new arrivals each week. Visit the store at First Energy Stadium. It's open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. 7 days a week. Or go to shop.clevelandbrowns.com. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, you're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, ESPN 850 WKNR. And we're happy to bring in right now our great pal, the outstanding voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. He is Jim Donovan. Jim, how many times did you kiss the ground after our flight landed the other day?
Vic, I'll tell you what. I am considering taking on the life and the life habits of a holy man after the after the arrival home the other night. When you see me on Thursday, I believe that's when I'm scheduled next for the roundtable.
Yes.
I will look like Jesus of Nazareth.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, Jim, I'll tell you what. Yeah, I got a few more gray hairs myself. Let's talk about this. It was really a letdown factor. We've seen this team obviously lose five other games this year, and we've seen ones that you don't feel good about any of them. But and I don't remember being particularly in any kind of good mood after we came back from Green Bay from Lambeau Field, feeling that was one of the games where you felt like no chance despite all the injuries they had. But this was the one, Jim, where you felt a win got left on the field.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, Nathan, I was thinking of you because the numbers just don't add up in this game.
Right.
At all. I mean, you know, the Bengals' third down conversions, Andy Dalton's numbers of 93 yards passing, none of that adds up to 41 points being scored, and you blow on a 13-0 lead so quickly, other than the numbers on the turnover side. I mean, no matter where you play and at no matter what level, you have a couple of punts blocked and fumbles being picked up for and taken in for touchdowns and block punts getting picked up and going for touchdowns. It's just a complete unraveling, which was unbelievable to watch. I mean, I just couldn't believe what I was seeing in front of my own eyes.
Yeah, and that was part of the problem. It was a game where if you would have said if the Browns do A, B, and C, which they did, you know, get off the field on third downs, the interceptions, Andy Dalton limited, they really limited the run game as well, they're going to win this game. But it just goes to show that the execution and taking care of the football, four turnovers in the game, one return for a touchdown, the costly interception, not executing and coming through when you have chances like the wide open pass to Greg Little, and of course the breakdowns and punt protection, that's the difference between a team that is going to win and a team that's going to lose. And as unimpressed as I am with the Bengals, because I came out of that game even less impressed with them, they still did the things they had to do to win. And that's what the Browns need to find a way to do going forward.
Yeah, and you know, Doug made a really good point after the two field goals earlier in the game because there were points left out on the field there. You know, they were definitely in position to score touchdowns there. And he said the dangerous part of this is that the Bengals, and you're right, I mean, they're unimpressive and certainly at the quarterback spot, but they have guys that can quickly turn a game around and score touchdowns. And they're able to do that, and they did that in a very different way. And the Browns struggle to do that right now. And I still think that for the Browns to win a game, whether it's in Cincinnati or against Jacksonville a week from Sunday, so both sides of the spectrum, in order for the Browns to win the game, the equation has to be that all three units, offense, defense, with defense leading the way, but offense, defense, and special teams all have to contribute into the ball game for them to get a victory. I don't think one unit is ready to lead the Browns totally to get a victory on a Sunday afternoon.
That's right.
Jim, we talked a little bit earlier on this show about leadership and about really the void that exists in that area on the offensive side of the ball versus defense, where you know who those guys are, the DeQuell Jacksons, I think the Joe Haydens, and now especially a guy like T.J. Ward, from everything I'm told, has really stepped up and been vocal. We know that that's not in existence on the offensive side of the ball. And how much of an issue is that with these kinds of games? We kept talking about what that game was this past week and what an opportunity it created in a playoff atmosphere and something a little something a lot more important than this team had played in any game since 2007. And then you felt that sense of being left flat by what the offense didn't do, and then, of course, those special teams break down.
Yeah, I mean, it really is, Vic. It's very void on the offensive side. You know, lost in that game Sunday, though not early in the game, but definitely as the afternoon went along, I think it was one of the great games at cornerback that I have seen anybody play in Joe Hayden. I mean, and as Nathan said a minute ago, you know, there was a checklist of things that you had to do, and really at the top was Joe Hayden will have to take care of AJ Green. And my goodness, he just took him completely out of the game and outplayed him and became a huge factor in the game. But over on the offensive side, you're right. It is completely void right now of a leader, and especially, I mean, where you naturally look for the leader to come from, and that is at the quarterback position. So they're still not there. You know, now, can Jason Campbell play well on Sunday, and can they win? Yeah, I think he can. I think he's more capable of doing it than Brandon Whedon was being able to bounce back from a rough game. So I would look for that, but they're definitely going to have to get some guys over there on that offensive side that are comfortable with the role of the position that they're playing and the fact that they're going to have to be the look-to guy in that unit for the team to come back and win. I mean, late in the game last night, 59 seconds left to go after Teddy Ginn Jr. had scored, there's no doubt who everybody was looking to, and that was Tom Brady. And you know, that's what's going to have to come here at some point, that kind of player.
Right, that kind of player, that kind of leader, exactly what Vic and you were talking about there at the quarterback position. Let me ask you, though, as you know, the game obviously so disappointing. Vic wrote his column about the what ifs. The turnaround now, because this is still, they're still, given the state of the AFC, they are still not out of the wild card picture whatsoever, but to even be considered still a player in that, they need to turn around quickly and beat a surging Steelers team at home this Sunday. How do they make that turnaround and get ready?
Well, I think they have to go into the game with the same excitement that they went into the Baltimore game a couple of weeks ago. I really do, because I think that, you know, the Kansas City game, you know, they built in that game, and they probably walked away from Arrowhead Stadium and said, hey, listen, we could have beaten these guys. And I think they should definitely walk away from Cincinnati and saying, we definitely should have beaten these guys if we had just done something offensively and had a typical day on special teams. We should have won the ball game. So I think that they should just build on the excitement of that, and I really expect them to be 6-6 in the next couple of weeks. I really think they have two very winnable games that there's no question now they're going to have to play very well on Sunday, but they're very capable of doing that, and I think we saw that in the transition from the Kansas City game over to the game against Baltimore, from the second game of the year in Baltimore into that third game after the Richardson trade into the game against Minnesota where they won. They're very capable of doing that, whereas the past teams haven't been able to do that. But, you know, it's going to take a really good effort. But I would look for this coaching staff to get them ready for Sunday's game against Pittsburgh. And then not looking too far ahead, they should beat Jacksonville. So I would be very disappointed if they're not 6-6.
Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on the line. So, Jim, as we talk about the next game, and as you say, the readiness for this next game, let's zero in on Jason Campbell. And we had seen him, I mean, what history gives us is a couple of good games in a row, and that was kind of his high watermark. And then it was a question mark because he hadn't done the three games in a row thing. So we've got the answer to that at least now. I guess what I'm wondering from your perspective is how much of a rebound is he capable of having, or do we know now, especially opponents that have more book on him, now there's three games that the Steelers have had to study and other defensive coordinators in preparing for him, and how much of a factor that is in facing him?
Well, I think, you know, Vic, I'm going to hope that he really does rebound very well and he plays a good game. I'm wondering about those ribs. You know, I really am. I'm wondering about those ribs, and I'm wondering those ribs that he hurt in that Baltimore game. And I know he had the week off, but, you know, as we saw with Trent Richardson last year, I mean, that takes a lot of time to get those feeling good. And I'm wondering how close to 100% he is, because he never pulled the ball down and ran the other day. And he did do that, and I know that's a part of his game, and it's been a part of his game that's cost him games because he's become injured, and it happened in the Baltimore game, too. But I'm wondering if that's why all those checkdowns were so quickly thrown out in the flats, because he just wouldn't pull the ball down and go up into the pocket too much, and he just wanted to get it out of there. But on the professional side, I mean, you know, we're going to lean on the fact that he's been around a long time now and that he's going to have to come out and play better than he did on Sunday. And whether it's him getting everybody involved or everybody getting involved with him, but they have to get back to that Baltimore game plan where Best gets involved and Little gets involved and Gordon and Cameron, you know, get involved, feeding off those other guys getting involved, because once again, they became so restricted. I mean, didn't their running backs and people have like 13 catches in that game last Sunday? So, you know, they need more down the field. So whether it's him getting it to them or them getting open, it's all going to happen on Sunday, because you're right when you describe the Steelers as surging.
Yeah, and you talk about the checkdowns. Jason Campbell, since he's been the quarterback of the Browns, 31% of his passes have been targeted to running backs. Weeden and Hoyer were at about 18.9%, so a significant jump there. Chris Obanaya, 12 targets, second on the team, behind only in this game Josh Gordon. And you talked about the secondary guys stepping up. And for this team to win, there needs to be some consistency there. You look at the two games where Jason Campbell had most of the production going to Josh Gordon and Jordan Cameron. They lost both of those games, Kansas City and now Cincinnati. The one they won, you got Bess and Little. And last week, the two of them, 12 targets, 2 catches, 7 yards total on 12 passes thrown their way. That's just not going to get it done. And it makes me wonder, as people start to, you know, give a little bit of a peek to the future, if a wide receiver to help Josh Gordon out is not going to be one of the top priorities this offseason.
Oh, I definitely think so. I really do, Nate. And I think it becomes more apparent as these gaps in the Browns, you know, spreading the ball around seem to widen. And, you know, you, first of all, you see what can happen when they do involve these other guys or when these guys get involved. And that's the Baltimore game plan. And I think Brian Hoyer did a pretty good job spreading the ball around too. And then you see what happens when it, when we go back to the old form again of just looking long and trying to hook up with, Gordon and then Cameron. And a lot of Jordan's catches then come, you know, very late in the ball game when it's really not a ball game at all. So, I mean, you know, they're very limited when those guys do not, you know, get involved. And I worry about that a great deal. I mean, I go into games, and I'm sure you guys do on Sundays, wondering where are they going to get their point production, because where are they going to get their plays?
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Yeah, Jim, that is going to be a big question mark. And, you know, again, we'll drill into this on Thursday when we get together on the round table, when you and Doug sit down. The round table, by the way, that's brought to you by Rosewood Grill. But when we
and
get
Nick,
into that.
I ate at the Rosewood Grill last Friday night, and it was absolutely fantastic.
Delicious.
Oh, beautiful. Another ringing endorsement. I love that.
There you go.
we'll try to bring in some Rosewood food for you on Thursday as well, Jim, so you can kind of continue.
Well, I'm glad, Vic, to touch upon our landing on Sunday. I'm glad it was not my last supper.
Oh, my God. All right, Jim, we will again talk more about this Pittsburgh game coming up, and appreciate all your insights, and see you on Thursday, buddy.
All right. Take care, guys. Have a
Thanks.
Good day.
The one and only Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, joining us here on the line, and we've got much, much more for you. As we mentioned, it's after further review. That'll be coming up at about 2:15. You're going to hear from the regular, the third guy on this show. His name is Gerard Cherry. He'll be with us around 2:40. Always love to hear what he has to say, with an additional chance to, maybe he's calmed down too. Maybe he's a little more mellow.
May people have their jobs still?
He was cutting people. People were seeking new employment
after that game.
He wasn't just mad. He said mad and angry.
Let me just tell you, if he can make the kind of transformation that you have made in the last 24 hours, then I think people will still have their jobs.
You know what helped, though? Lunch was good.
It was a good lunch today.
And I think the lunch put me in a good place.
I was worried. I actually was driving in today, knowing how you get after Italian food, that if they had spaghetti and meatballs, I was like, forget about it.
Forget about it.
Are we going to do a show anymore? I mean, what's the point?
Much more is coming up. Yes, we are continuing this show, and we'll keep this. The show goes on, as Dave DiNatale says, 52 weeks a year. Vic and Nathan, ESPN 850 WKNR.